welcome to Power Play. My name is Jim Jones.
And I am Peter Street.
And this is the inaugural podcast of Power Play. First podcast I've ever done. You too, right?
Yeah, I've never been involved in a podcast before.
All right, well, I think our first one is going to be pretty good. Why don't you go ahead and run down what we're going to be talking about today?
Different things that we're wanting to discuss today is we're going to do a debate segment entitled Role Playing on the Run. And we're going to discuss role-playing games on portable consoles, portable systems. Then we're going to talk about the ugliest video game characters that you can think of.
I like that segment.
Yeah, that's going to be funny because me and Jim are pretty hideous ourselves. But
speak for yourself, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, at least myself. I'm not that handsome. But there's so many ugly-ass game characters out there that I can feel better about myself when I play certain games. Then we're going to do Editor's Choice. What's on everybody's minds right now is the launch of PlayStation 3 and the new Nintendo Wii system. And we're going to kind of debate those two consoles, their strengths, their weaknesses, versus the already next-gen console release of the Xbox 360. And then we're going to talk about what we're currently playing. And then we have a segment entitled, What Would You Do? This week we're going to be discussing what would you rather do instead of playing 100 hours of Superman for the Nintendo 64.
I can think of a lot of things I would rather do.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that I would rather do than play 100 hours of that game. A lot of things I'd rather do than play 5 minutes of that game. And first segment, I guess, on the table is role-playing games. Should role-playing games be on handheld systems? They're usually designed to be played for extended periods of time. Because of that reason, they're not really well-suited for handheld systems. But I would like to argue to the contrary, because the last two role-playing games that I was really into and actually finished were for the Game Boy Advance system. I bought the two-pack of Final Fantasy 1 and 2, and I find that even though these types of games are designed to be very long games, that since I work 40 hours a week, have a family at home to take care of, that I don't have all the time in the world to just sit down and do marathon sessions on my console. But if I have a role-playing game such as Final Fantasy in my pocket, then I'm more inclined to actually get into the genre because I wouldn't have time otherwise.
I'm going to have to say that I don't really agree with that, because I think since they are such long games, it's definitely difficult to play them for short periods of time because, first of all, in most RPGs that I've played, they really lack frequent save points.
Well, that's not as true for at least the adaptation that I was just talking about, because they have made saving a whole lot easier. In fact, with the Final Fantasy series, at least on Game Boy Advance, now this program is prior to the release that I'm looking forward to personally, and that's Final Fantasy III.
You and the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the best Final Fantasy this year. I'm much more looking forward to that than Final Fantasy XII for PlayStation 2, which is a lot less like Final Fantasy than the DS Final Fantasy. That remake looks incredibly beautiful. Not only is it 3D graphics, and the battle system is being controlled by the touchscreen, but it's also the first, time I will actually have a chance to play that Final Fantasy, since it will be the first release of it in North America. So not only is it a lost chapter in the Final Fantasy saga, but it's been completely redone with CG cutscenes, 3D graphics, and it's going to have unique gameplay for the Nintendo DS. So that alone has me excited, but if they do like they did with the Game Boy Advance versions, then you'll be able to save pretty much wherever you want, because that's That's how that was set up for the Game Boy Advance.
You said it's a lost chapter?
Uh-huh.
The Final Fantasy series?
Yeah.
If I recall, wasn't it on the Super Nintendo, Final Fantasy III?
That is a misconception that a lot of people have. Final Fantasy III was out for the Super Nintendo, but what you're thinking of, in fact, is Final Fantasy VI. Because the Final Fantasy III in the United States was actually Final Fantasy VI in Japan. So the series actually goes Final Fantasy I and II, and that was released on the Famicom, or the Nintendo Entertainment System. And then Final Fantasy III was also, but it was never released stateside. Final Fantasy IV was released as Final Fantasy II here in the United States, and Final Fantasy IV in Japan. Final Fantasy V never had a release over here until the PlayStation version came out on the Final Fantasy Anthology disc. And then Final Fantasy VI was Final Fantasy III when it was released over here. So it's kind of confusing to a lot of people, but Final Fantasy III, the one that many people know of as III, is actually VI.
Wow, so we're getting an entirely new experience here in America with Final Fantasy III on the DS.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Final Fantasy III on the DS, and it's not going to be, obviously, the exact same game. They have fleshed out the characters a little bit. There's a more detailed plot and so forth. So it's a lot more expanded and extended than the original game was. But at the same time, it still keeps the flavor and structure of the original. That's what they're basing it off of. But the story and the plot and the characters and what you can do in the game have been expanded.
Well, I would hope they took the time to make sure you could save, especially on the DS. The handheld, you're only going to have 5-10 minutes to play sometimes, and you need to save it quickly. You don't need to be looking around for an ink ribbon or anything like that to try and save your game.
Yeah, exactly, especially if you're on the crapper and your boss is coming. You're going to want to...
My boss better not be coming into the crapper with me.
When you work in retail, weird things happen. One thing that I will say for the people who are against this issue is the fact that when you are dealing with characters and complex plot points, it is harder to follow if you're playing your role-playing Final Fantasy game on your 15-minute break or your lunch period, you know, when you're going outside for a smoke and you're, you know, you whip out your Game Boy or in this case, you know, the DS, and you're going to play. A lot of times you might have forgotten some of what has happened over the course of all these little segments of play. So that's one thing I can kind of think of when I think back as to how I experienced it. You almost, by the time you're refreshed on the plot, it's time for you to move on with your day. So that's one area that I do agree with.
Now that's definitely my biggest hurdle to get over as far as RPGs on the go. It's hard enough for me to follow some of these plots when I'm sitting down playing for 2 or 3 hours at a time, let alone on the crapper for 10 minutes, trying to get the gist of the Final Fantasy III plot. I mean, come on.
Well, thankfully they've made, at least up until this point with the release of Final Fantasy I and II for Game Boy Advance, the plot of the first, especially the first Final Fantasy game, is pretty thin. So you basically have a party of heroes that are chosen, you know, they have orbs and they're chosen to save the world.
Yep.
It's cut and dry, and there's not a lot of real meaty conversations or real drama. The characters don't even have their own names and their own stories. They're just their classes.
But then you take a game like Final Fantasy VII, which is one of my favorite games. I know a lot of people say it's overrated, but it's definitely one of my favorite RPGs ever. And that game has such a deep plot, and you, by the end of it, you care for those characters so much. I don't think there's any way you could get the same experience playing it for 10-15 minutes at a time on a handheld. I think it'd be very difficult.
Yeah, so I do kind of agree with that angle. And I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how that adapts to the new release on the Nintendo DS later this year. seeing how the Final Fantasy III actually balances portable role-playing games with an interesting plot and characters. Because if you don't have that in modern role-playing games, you're not pushing the envelope at all. And while this is a classic that's been out already for, you know, well over a decade, you're going to obviously have a lot of that retro feel to it. But I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how far they've stretched the expansion as far as the characters, the individual drama of the characters, as well as the main story in general. And hopefully they'll be able to hold everybody's attention, even though it's in a portable form. Because I just, the idea of having a portable role-playing game of that grand scale is very novel and very cool. At the same time, if it's not going to keep your interest because you're constantly forgetting what's been happening in your short little play sessions, then that wouldn't be very good either.
Yeah, I think that is really the biggest obstacle to overcome in role-playing games for these handheld systems, especially on the DS. The DS is the kind of system that you want to pick up and play for a few minutes at a time. You're waiting at the doctor's office or the dentist's office, or like you said, you're outside on a smoke break.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they've been marketing it, too, if you've noticed.
Yeah, absolutely.
The commercials are all about... They've even coined the phrase Touch Generation, and those games have their own logo now. Mm-hmm. When you are out there stocking the shelves of your game store, you'll notice that Touch Generation logo, and Reggie, the Nintendo president, has publicly said that basically the intention of their Touch Generation games is so more people can get into gaming and they can spread gaming to a wider audience. And that can be done by, you know, having people who don't really play games in marathon sessions be able to pull out their DS and play for a few minutes at a time. So that's kind of been what they've been shooting for.
Yeah.
So in the middle of all this...
here comes Final Fantasy
III. Here comes
III.
Final Fantasy III, a game that's going to take like 40 hours to finish. And that's kind of contradictory to this Touch Generation.
If you sit down in the BMV, you might be playing through that whole game.
that's definitely a good point.
No, but I saw one of the Touch Generation ads, which was three people sitting in like a doctor's office waiting room, and one person had the DS, and she had a big smile on her face and looked like she was having fun, and the other two were people were sitting there like statues, like bored as could be. And I thought that was a really good ad. It was one of the Touch Generation ads.
Right.
It was in a magazine somewhere. I forget which one. But, yeah, I mean, compare the DS to, like, the PSP, which the PSP, in my mind, is a little more geared towards extended play, because, I mean, with the UMD discs, you're going to be waiting for the disc to spin up anyway, which could take who knows how long.
But, truly, I think that's one of the reasons for the PSPs. Not only is it so much more expensive than the Nintendo DS, and that's kind of hurt its sales, but... One of the reasons I don't think it's not selling as well as the DS, and that's obvious, especially now with the new DS Lite and all the Touch Generation games, new Super Mario Brothers, Brain Age, scores of very, very popular games that are driving sales on the system. PSP games, like you mentioned, are designed for a lot longer play sessions. They're not really geared towards what we... you know, have grown up on in our Game Boys and Game Boy Colors, where, you know, there were certainly games on there that took a while to beat, but at the same time, it's something you could easily put on pause, slide in your pocket, and start up later. With a lot of the PSP releases, they're basically mini versions of PlayStation
exactly.
2 titles.
Exactly, and I think that's their biggest problem, is they're shooting for that whole PS2 experience. It doesn't work on a handheld. It just doesn't. People don't have time to sit. If they're going to sit down and play a video game for extended periods of time, they're going to sit in front of their PS2. They're not going to play on a 3-inch screen on their handheld.
Yes. Yep, they're going to sit in front of their computer. They're going to sit down to their console and their couch. They're going to be comfortable, mm-hmm. and they're going to have, better controls, better graphics.
Yep.
They're going to have probably a wired network instead of, you know, more people still have wired networks in their home than they have wireless. And they're going to, when they're going to put that kind of time into a game session, they're going to do it in the best way that they can. And PSP is not as good as a console, even though it's really, really technically impressive.
Oh, sure.
It's not, it doesn't have that magic, you know, gaming on the run formula that somehow Nintendo has patented for the last 20 years.
The Game Boy?
Yeah, ever since the Game Boy.
Oh, man.
They have owned handhelds.
Absolutely.
And they continue to own handhelds.
But the PSP is the DS killer. The Game Boy killer.
Who said that?
Everybody says that. Everybody who's never played a DS, that is.
Oh. Well, yeah, there. I mean, I work with a lot of PSP fans, and
yeah.
When I ask them, what games do you actually play on it? They say, oh, I don't. I watch movies on it, or I play, or I, you know, I send files to my friends when I'm at work, or, you know, it's more of a techno geek device.
It's a multimedia device.
That's what it is.
It is
it's not a game machine.
No.
And it's not being sold because it's a great portable gaming machine.
Absolutely not.
It's being sold because it's so technically impressive, and you can mod it, and you can add things to it, and do all these neat things with it. But you're not playing, you know, not playing Mario Brothers on it. You're not playing games on it. You're not playing Mario Kart with,
well,
you know.
Obviously, you're not playing any first-party Nintendo games on it. You can get some emulators for that.
Yeah.
Play some original Mario Brothers. How about that?
Yeah. You could go through all the trouble to do that. But it's not being sold because it's a game machine.
Well, getting back to our main topic here, which is role-playing on the run, not how the PSP sucks and the DS rules. Do you have any reasons for role-playing on the run?
I didn't say the PSP sucked.
No, neither did I. Not in so many words. But
I mean, as soon as I can afford to spend half my year's wage on one, I'll probably get one.
I think you get two games with that, too.
All right, what's
okay,
the,
so
main
back to the
main topic again?
Role-playing on the run, I think, is what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Can you come up with any more reasons for role-playing on the run, why we should see more of it?
Basically, I think it's one of the... the DS, obviously, I'm a total DS fan. I think you've decided that already, probably, if you're listening. But I think it's one of the most exciting genres that are out there that is in existence. And what I would like to see, and the reason why I'm so pro, you know, bring on the RPGs to the portables, is a lot to do with the unique features on the Nintendo DS.
Sure.
DS has a microphone, built-in touchscreen, and I've played, you know, a lot of the DS games, and Nintendogs is kind of what I'll use as an example. With that game, it's not for everyone, obviously, but you can interact with the game world like you can't on anything else. You can actually touch the little creatures. You can touch your dogs. You can play with them with the stylus and little dog toys and things like that. So you can have a real... You can almost feel like you're physically involved in the game world, as well as you can communicate vocally with the dogs. And I think that it would be exciting to see that adapted to a more serious role-playing game.
Okay, then let me ask you this. When we see the launch of the Wii finally, will that change your mind any? Would you rather see them on the Wii, or would you rather see them on the DS?
What, role-playing games?
Yeah. Because you can pretty much get the same experience with the Wii, as far as I can tell, that you can with the DS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the Wiimote, that gives you basically the same functionality.
Yeah, you have the interaction with the games.
Mm-hmm.
I would still rather see... obviously, I would like to have
developers do
whatever they can with both, and with any system, with PS3, with 360. I would like to see a lot more creativity in gaming on all platforms. But a lot of what Nintendo is doing is trying to revolutionize the hardware to be able to support people's creative ideas. So I would, I'm definitely excited about seeing what developers could do with the DS when it comes to interacting in role-playing games with perhaps touch and with your voice. Being able to actually maybe even communicate vocally with the characters that you've grown to enjoy, that would be exciting. Or being able to manipulate their rooms and their environments. It would really make you feel more involved in their universe.
Sure, more interactive.
Yeah, because there's only so much you can do with software ideas, but when you see a company go out on a limb and try and change the way we interact with the software by adding new ideas to the hardware, that's what's got me kind of excited about portable role-playing games, at least on the DS.
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about the hardware changes, but we'll talk about that later on in the Editor's Choice segment.
All right.
Well, let's on a lighter note, let's move into the ugliest video game characters segment. I think we've got a list of about 7 here.
Yeah, it's
what we think are some of the ugliest characters ever made.
It's the classic top 7. I mean, everybody has top 7 lists.
Oh yeah, top 7 everything. Top 7 best games ever. Top 7 worst games.
Oh, let's stop beating around the bush. We're revolutionizing things.
We are.
We are changing it.
This is the next gen top 7 lists. Forget the
it's
top
the
10.
Top 7.
Top 10 is no more. Top 7
nope.
is here.
Yep.
Okay, well, number 7. I think this guy is pretty ugly, and he's on a lot of box covers.
I don't know, man. I don't necessarily agree with this. I don't even know what you're thinking about putting him on.
Well, I will tell you why. Okay, it's Jack from the Jack and Daxter series.
Yes, very familiar with that series.
And they're good games. I'll give him that. But this guy is not pretty. He has got, for one, his nose looks like it was smashed in with a brick. This guy has the flattest nose, and it's smashed that. No, look at the box art and
tell
me this guy has not been hit in the face with a brick repeatedly. I'm telling you, he has. And to top it off, not only did they hit him in the face with a brick, but they were pulling and stretching his ears at the same time.
I just can't stop looking at this cute Daxter. He's just so cute.
Forget Daxter.
He's got his own
game.
Well,
at least you're distracted. At least you're distracted from Jack, because Jack is not pretty.
He's not, I mean, he's not ugly, though.
He's ugly. If I smashed in your nose, you'd be pretty ugly.
He kind of looks like an ugly elf.
Yeah, a really gross, distorted elf.
He's like Legolas after years of heroin abuse.
Wow.
That's what...
I think he's like 2 years shy of Golem. He's pretty disgusting.
That's what it is. He has the Ring of Power in his pocket.
It must be, or he put it in his nose because it's disgusting.
All right, yeah. And you, I mean, you say his ears are misshapen, but I call that a really nice design.
No, they're not normal.
Okay.
Okay, number 6. I don't know if you've played this game, but Galleon on the Xbox... Have you ever played that?
I have not played... I don't know what that is.
Okay,
either.
Well...
What is that?
I don't know that these characters aren't necessarily ugly. I mean, they are ugly, but it's more of a a modeling problem than it is they were designed that way.
Yeah.
These characters are modeled so terribly. Their faces are all pinched in. A point in the front, literally, almost.
Right.
You can't tell where their cheeks end and their nose begins. It's really disgusting.
Is it... What kind of game is it? Galen?
It's kind of an action-adventure. It has almost a little bit of RPG feel to it, but not quite. It's kind of like Soul Reaver. Legacy of Kain.
Well,
Soul
I love
Reaver.
That series.
That's a great series. And he is not half as ugly as the models in this game, I will tell you.
Who? You mean...
Raziel? Is that his name?
You mean Raziel? Yeah, Raziel is the Soul Reaver. There's the whole Blood Omen series that has the lead character is Kain. They're in both. The series kind of cross over.
Yeah.
And then their last PS2 adventure was you got to actually play as both of them throughout the adventure.
Yeah, but he's definitely more attractive really like than the characters the in this series. Game.
Is it supposed to be that way? Is it designed that way?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily designed that way, but they had some terrible modelers, and their faces are pinched in. They have the worst hook noses you've ever seen. Big, giant bumps. They've all been pugilized beyond belief.
Pugilized?
Pugilized. They've been boxed about the face.
I'm going to look that up right now.
It's a pugilist, like a boxer.
Oh, okay.
Pugilized. Punched in the mouth. Punched in the face. Yeah. And they've all had broken noses multiple times. It's really quite disgusting.
Well, now I know that I probably wouldn't want to sit through that game.
It wasn't a bad game.
Did you beat it?
I did not finish it, no.
You didn't finish it? Did it have anything at all to do with the hideous nature of the characters?
The story had nothing... did my not finishing it have to do with that?
Yeah.
I can't say yes, but I can't say no. Not
really?
Not consciously. Maybe subconsciously I quit because I couldn't stand to look at these people anymore.
Is it that, really, that bad?
I'll show you a screenshot. Why don't you go ahead and introduce number 5? I think we're all pretty familiar with this. I will pull up a screenshot while we're doing that.
All right. Just for the benefit of all the listeners.
Yeah, I will post this on our website as well.
Oh, okay.
I will post pictures of all of these characters.
Links to it. Okay,
absolutely.
Cool.
So you can see how ugly they are for yourself.
Number 5 is something that I actually agree with wholeheartedly. Waluigi. You have / Luigi on here.
Oh, yeah. Luigi is just as ugly as Waluigi.
No way.
Oh,
absolutely
yeah.
Not. Luigi is fucking charming, man.
Luigi is not charming. He's tall. He's gangly. He's stupid.
Luigi, have you ever played Luigi's Mansion for GameCube?
I have not played that game, but I've played Luigi in multiple Mario games. He's not an attractive fellow.
Well,
I don't believe so.
Let's
anyway.
Stop arguing about that.
You're right. Waluigi is
Waluigi
the main focus
is, we can at least come to an agreement.
Absolutely.
Peaceful sort of scenario with that, because he is disgusting. And I hate him more so because of his name being a stupid ass name. It doesn't even
absolutely.
Go... I can understand, you know, the whole wanting to be just like Wario.
Uh-huh.
But Waluigi? It sounds like... It sounds like a retail store.
But really, I mean, what else were they going to name him? Waluigi? You can't... There's no other way...
There's
nothing else to name him. If he's going to be like Wario...
unnatural to put... Our producer just suggested Lore...
Waluigi.
Waluigi?
Waluigi. I don't know about that. Waluigi. I like Waluigi, personally.
Waluigi is the dumbest name ever.
Okay,
it is so
okay, I can't pretend it's a terrible name.
It's stupid. And
but
it
he's also very ugly.
Luigi.
We can't overlook that.
I have it's so scarring to my psychology to acknowledge the existence of a Waluigi and to acknowledge the fact that one of my favorite companies, Nintendo, has created such a ridiculously named character that I have decided to deny its existence in my psychological day-to-day routine. If people approach me, and if when I'm playing Mario Kart or something like that with Waluigi in it, and I can't avoid playing certain games with a stupid character in the game, I will refuse to ever play as that character. I don't care if he has the best stats or the best vehicle. I will refuse to acknowledge him by never playing him. And I never mentioned the name. It's kind of like the Harry Potter series. For me, he's the person that he who must not be named. That's Waluigi. It's disgusting.
So
I've denied his existence.
So what happens in one of the next 28 Mario games where you're playing Mario halfway through and then you're playing Luigi and then all of a sudden you have to play Waluigi? You're halfway through the game.
Oh, don't do this to me.
15 hours into this game. And
oh,
now you're forced to play as Waluigi or you cannot advance. What happens then?
Oh, hopefully the world will end and we'll be reborn in some heavenly paradise.
No such luck, my friend.
God.
It's Waluigi
if that happens,
or nothing.
I will... See, that That's an evil, evil scenario. Fortunately, none of my favorite series, obviously, is Mario's, the Mario series. If our listeners didn't know already, and Mario is a game series that I am insisting on playing every single game and mastering it, and I have up until this point. Every Mario game that's released, I play and completely beat in every aspect that I can imagine. If I find that they secretly embed Waluigi into one of the next Mario masterpieces, I will probably need to be locked away into a mental institution because I won't know what to do. Part of me will be revolted to the point of wanting to set whatever system I'm playing on fire. Combined with my Mario lust, so I really hope that for the sake of my sanity and perhaps my life, that they never do that.
I think some people would say you should already be locked away. But that's just some people. Okay, on to the next character.
Yes.
In our list, number 4.
Uh-huh.
And this guy I wholeheartedly agree with. Dr. Robotnik. From the Sonic the Hedgehog series.
Ugliest mustache ever.
That's in my notes. Ugliest mustache ever. This guy has the biggest mustache with the most split ends, gangliest mustache I've ever seen.
I love the Sonic games.
Oh, yeah.
And I've played them all, and it wouldn't be the same without this hideous villain.
I agree.
I can't imagine, you know, playing a Sonic game without... Well, we know him as Dr. Robotnik. In Japan, he's always been Dr. Or actually just, you know, Eggman. And I didn't know that at first. When I first bought my Dreamcast, I got it launch day, $99.99. And I brought it home and I put in Sonic Adventure first thing, and they were calling him Eggman. I was like, what is this? When did this change take place? I want Dr. Robotnik back, because that's all I ever knew, and I still like that name better. But he's always been Eggman in Japan, and basically he looks like an egg.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's I think he's designed to be this hideous, ugly human, because the game series almost vilifies humans and as something that is robotic and not natural, just like all the machines this villain is making, and how he's destroying the natural world that Sonic lives and plays in. He's kind of the only human in the series, and basically, he's kind of like the source of the evil. So, I mean, the series is kind of interesting and unique in the way that it depicts humans as this, you know, destructive force that only nature, which is headed by, you know, all of the wildlife, and, of course, Sonic the Hedgehog, the nature is what's going to have to destroy this and win things over. And, you know, he's a really disgusting human, and that's kind of the series' take on human beings and what they've done to the planet, is they've kind of destroyed it, just like Dr. Robotnik. He's this really gross human being, and...
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
Ugliest mustache ever. That's
absolutely
all I need to say. Ugliest
it kind
mustache
of sums
ever.
It up. Sums it up.
And I also want to point out that this guy, Eggman, he is shaped like an egg. He is wearing a skin-tight jumpsuit. That is just wrong. Not only does he have to be shaped like an egg, he has to show it to us. He has to let us know, I am Eggman. This is not something I want to see while I'm playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's awesome, though, because all of his machines are shaped just like his hideous form. I mean, everything he has is, like, bubbled around him. In Sonic 2, you had the Death Egg, and that was the big egg-shaped space station. Everything was shaped like an egg. And it's all because he's just so fat. You have to have an egg-shaped machine to go around an egg-shaped man.
What shape machine do you put an egg-shaped man in?
A machine shaped like an like an egg.
And exactly.
On top of that, I just have one thing to add. Ugliest mustache ever.
All right. On to number three.
Number three.
This is along the same lines as Waluigi. Is Wario Waluigi's brother?
Who's Waluigi?
What are you talking about? We just discussed Waluigi moments ago.
Oh, yes. I've tried
to forget. Is Wario Waluigi's brother? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they're related.
Okay, well, number three on our list is Wario. This guy,
yes,
he's just like Mario. He's short, he's fat, and he has the same disgusting mustache.
Are you serious?
I'm telling you, I got a thing against mustaches here.
You must.
I do, and I had one myself for a long time.
You must think I'm pretty gross looking then.
Do you have a mustache? Turn around here.
Of course I have a mustache.
You got a goatee. It all connects in the front.
Oh, so if it connects, it's not gross?
No.
So if Mario had a goatee, he'd be hip.
Sure. He'd be a little dangerous, but he wouldn't
Mario
be disgusting.
Mario is dangerous. That Mario guy throws fireballs, he flies through the air,
he butt pounces. Okay, well,
What's
he gets his ass
What's more dangerous than an ass pounce?
Wario's mustache.
that's
Plus, okay. Okay, well, he's short, he's fast, he's short, he's fat, he has the disgusting mustache, but he also has, unlike Mario, he also has the child molester smirk. He's got this
exactly.
thing he does with his
it's
mouth
the,
that just...
The pedo smile,
yes.
Yeah.
He has it.
For all the
and
readers
it creeps
of the
me out.
In the universe. Very gross mustache, I'll agree, on Wario, but
yeah.
Mario's mustache is where... If any
it's
game character
mustache.
In the world needs a mustache, it's Mario.
It's me, Mario, yeah.
You can't be a Mario without the mustache. Without the mustache, yeah, you heard me. That's appropriate inflection.
I haven't really noticed, but is Wario's mustache the exact same as Mario's mustache?
No, it's not. It's a little bit...
It's grosser, isn't
it's,
it?
It's more angular. It's like... It's got sharper shapes. It's more pointy and crazy.
Gotcha.
And ugly. I mean, it is an ugly mustache. It's supposed to be. Mario's isn't. Mario has a cute mustache, I'd almost even say. If such a word applies to mustache.
I believe the word gross applies to mustache.
Okay.
Even though I had a mustache at one point.
I remember.
Up until a couple days ago.
That was an ugly one.
Yeah. It was like Wario's mustache. Actually, it's more like Dr. Robotnik's mustache.
You mean Eggman, right?
Sure.
Number two.
Dr. Robotnik.
Number two.
Number two.
This is a lesser-known game character, not as popular as all these Robotniks and Warios. Some of you might not have even heard of her before.
And if you haven't, count your blessings.
because
this
she's
is
ugly.
One... Ugly woman.
Detestable. Disgusting. She's mullet-shaped. Has a stretched face.
What? Mullet-shaped? That's not what it says. She's purple, she's fat, she's got a mallet smashed and stretched face.
She's also shaped like one.
She's shaped like Dr. Robotnik.
Well,
she's
yeah.
She's disgusting.
She's more egg-like.
She's just as egg-like, that's for sure. Only she's not wearing the skin-tight suit. And thank God for that.
I wasn't really a big fan of this game anyway. Let's stop keeping people in suspense.
Okay.
Jim, who is this character?
It's Queen Braun from Final Fantasy IX.
Oh, yes.
The purple, fat monstrosity.
What were they thinking when they designed her?
I honestly don't know.
I mean...
I think they were trying to scare people away from this game. I really do. I really do.
Why would they want to do that? They want to sell games.
They already got you to buy it. They just don't want you to play it. They want you to play their other games. Get it in their hands, force them to not play it, so they have
insane.
To go out and buy more games. That's the perfect strategy. And Queen Braun is the perfect person to do it.
So you buy the game because it's Final Fantasy.
Absolutely.
And then you put it in your PlayStation, and you turn it on, you see Queen Braun, and she's disgusting, so you stop playing the game and you buy the other new SquareSoft RPG.
Exactly.
Or Square Enix now, but wow, I've never thought about
brilliant
it that way.
Strategy.
That's a great, great strategy. Maybe that's exactly what they did. That's probably what happened.
I would bet absolutely nothing on it. Because I don't think that's what they did.
No, I don't either.
But she is definitely disgusting. Purple, fat, beyond belief.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, that face has been hit with bricks.
It goes along with the entire the retro feel of it. The whole point of Final Fantasy IX was, hey, let's go back to the Nintendo era when we didn't have enough system memory to make game characters that were bigger than 2 pixels. You know, they were short and they were super deformed is the name that they use for that kind of a character. And that's what they were wanting to harken back to. Even though the entire reason they had super deformed characters was because of technological limitations. You know, it's the same. It's the equivalent to me of them in the new Star Wars movies putting jiggly movements in Yoda's ears. I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You have all this 3D technology, and you create a programming script in order to have jiggle in Yoda's ears.
Yeah.
Just because that was the technological limitation
Yoda
of the first Yoda.
Jiggle.
The jiggle is retarded. The jiggle is... It's because of the day.
I'm just being facetious. I completely agree. No jiggle necessary.
That's one of the reasons I was not a fan of Final Fantasy IX as much as the rest of the series, because the concept of making all the character designs based off of technological limitations is already a big mistake from the get-go, I think.
Well, I'll tell you.
And then it creates characters like Queen Braun, who are disgusting and hideous.
She could not have been more hideous in the 8-bit era, though. What they were shooting for, I wish they would have gone back further. I wish they would have taken it back to Pong and made her just a ball on the screen, because that would have been more attractive than what she turned out to be.
All right, well, we are on the same page with that one, it looks like.
I think
like.
So. Well, where does that bring us?
That brings us to the number one all-time ugliest character, in this case, characters of all time. What is your choice?
I couldn't pick just one out of this series. There are too many ugly characters in these games. Number one choice is any character from a Punch-Out game. Any of them.
Now, is this after you've punched them out?
This is before you've punched them.
Even before you've punched them.
These characters are some of the most foul creations ever to grace a television screen.
While I do agree with you, I was just, you know, amazed back when the games came out that they could have any expression and detail on the game characters' faces, that the fact that now I look back on them and see them as truly some of the most hideous game characters ever to grace a screen, I still didn't see it back then. It was just too amazing to notice the gross designs behind the appearance of all the Punch-Out characters. But yeah, I mean, when you do look back on it, and whoever out there that may be listening has not gone back to actually see how difficult games really were, you need to go back and you need to play the original Punch-Out, because that game... will probably kick your ass if you're not used to playing any challenging games and you're used to all the easy games we have these days. Punch-Out will kick your ass, and at the same time you'll be able to say, man, what genius made these disgusting ass characters? Because they're really, really fucking ugly.
You know what else will kick your ass? I challenge anyone listening to this podcast to go onto Wikipedia, search for Soda Popinski, one of the characters from Punch-Out.
Yes, of course.
And take a look down the screenshots here. It has all of the characters from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Ooh, you used the word Mike Tyson.
I had to use Mike Tyson.
It originally was just Punch-Out.
I know.
And then it was
they
Mike
re-released
Tyson.
It as Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yes, we know the history.
But yeah, Soda Popinski, he is quite ugly. Mr. Sandman. Has anyone gone back and looked at the animation of this guy? He's got the most distorted mouth I've ever seen. You should really check this out.
You need to link this on the website.
Quite impressive. I will link this on the website. some of the ugliest characters of all time.
Oh, damn.
You didn't remember how bad it was, did you?
No, I forgot about Mr.
How
Sandman.
About,
he's...
What's his face up here, huh? King Hippo? Oh, it doesn't even have a nose.
He doesn't have a jaw.
How are you going to beat this guy up? Tell me that.
I don't know. He doesn't have a jaw.
Doesn't have any weak points.
He'll eat your fist. Wow.
Some ugly guys. Glass Joe.
I want to just hurt them because they're so ugly.
Don Flamenco's not too attractive. Bald Bull. I think, hands down, he takes the cake. I should have put him at number one. Just forget all the others. Bald Bull. Look at this guy's mouth. He's sucking wind like there's no tomorrow.
He is disgusting. Look at his head.
Oh, yeah. His head is misshapen.
His head is a bowling ball.
His eyeballs are as big as a bowling ball on his head.
And talk about an ugly mustache.
Yeah.
He has a mustache on his neck. He has two... He's like a...
Those are sideburns. He's completely bald except for sideburns and a mustache and eyebrows.
Those are sideburns?
Those are sideburns, my friend.
Oh, God. Yeah.
How do you grow sideburns when you're bald? When you're that bald?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's, maybe has hair plugs in on his sideburns.
I like hair plugs, but just on the sideburns, please.
It's like something a doped-up Captain Picard would decide to do or something. It's a hideous lineup of characters there. A very good number one choice, Jim.
Yeah, I think that definitely has to be.
Yes, indeed. And now, to further our discussions, once again, to change topics on to Editor's Choice. Here, this week, this podcast, we have the debate that is raging around the world currently in every gamer's mind. 360, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii. Alright, this is the new war. Console war is brewing once again. It does this every 5 or 6 years. And we're about to have the next full-blown war. What do you see as the advantages and disadvantages of some of these formats, Jim?
Oh, boy. Man, this is a big subject.
I know, this could take up years, but we don't necessarily want to spend years. We want to get back to playing games.
How about you podcast people, podcast listeners, you want to spend the next year on this? No. No? Okay. Well, let's take it one system at a time. Let's start off with the PS3. How about that? That's the big buzz right now, I think. That and the Wii. But we'll start off with PS3.
They're the ones that are about to be released, so there's a bigger buzz on that. 360's kind of been... It's already been out for a year, you know. People have made
the hype is
decisions.
Kind of settling down on that.
Yeah, love it, hate it, somewhere in between. People have already taken their stance, but haven't really had time to really play any of the Wii games, the PS3 games, and they're about to be released.
Well, we haven't got to see any of the PS3 games. All we've seen is cutscenes, and we haven't actually gotten to play. Any
I haven't
of them,
played
I
anything. I want to play the Wii, obviously.
I think everybody on the planet wants to play the Wii right now.
Yep, I want to see if it's going to be a bust or if it's going to revolutionize the way we control our games again.
Okay, well, we'll start off with the PS3. We'll get to the Wii in a second. The way I see it, the PS3 has three main advantages. I think probably Blu-ray is going to be somewhat of an advantage, especially with the extra processing power of the PS3, because it will be able to store higher resolution textures. It'll be able to make the games look nicer with more storage space.
And all the it'll be able to allow for the 1080 progressive default.
Yeah, and that coupled with the other selling point, the processing power and the graphic capabilities of the PS3. I think that's pretty like a 1-2 punch towards the other consoles. It's really going to have the superior graphics. I do believe that. From what I've seen so far with the...
Everything indicates that it will be the most powerful system, but whether or not developers have had enough time with the technology in order to truly make their games stand out, you know, when compared to games on the 360.
Which they haven't, and I think that's one of the 360's big advantages right now.
Well, yeah, it's been out there for a year already.
Yep.
it may not have as high a pixel count on its games as a PlayStation 3, but it's still an HD standard.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody with a 1080p capable television.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah. They're ridiculously expensive still.
Retardedly expensive.
So, I mean, the PlayStation 3 is so far out there as far as its abilities, as far as, you know, it's not going to be... 1080 progressive is not going to be in every home for years and years and years to come, and yep. It's not going to be a standard for the average person for a long while.
720p isn't even a standard.
No, it's not. Most people that I sell 360s to on a weekly basis are actually, first of all, getting the core system, and because it's $100 cheaper, even
which
though the...
Which is not a good idea, but...
No, the,
but they
the
don't
real
know
deal is in the premium system.
Yeah.
But regardless, the core system does not come with component video cables, so automatically there you don't have access to the HD outputs.
Yeah.
And most of the people that I talk to and survey about the 360 are not playing their 360 on a high-definition television.
I wouldn't be. I don't have a high-definition television.
I still don't have one either.
I play all my video games on a 19-inch television that I've had since I was 15. I've had for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I play on a 20-inch set. I have surround sound on a 20-inch set.
I have surround sound on my computer. That, to be honest, that's where I do most of my gaming. It's on my computer,
too.
And now my DS. Since I got a DS, I do a lot more gaming on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nobody really has the equipment to hook this PlayStation 3 up to benefit from all of its graphic processing power and its storage space and everything.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
Those are two good selling points, but I don't know if people are ready for it yet.
Who's I'm following you 100% on this. The third thing that PlayStation has, at least for the time being, is a number of notable series that it's kind of privy to. You know, namely for the last several years, the Final Fantasy series, mm-hmm. as well as a very popular series, Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those series, coincidentally, have had their roots on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Of course, now we're talking about Final Fantasy III coming back to the DS, so
yes,
who knows
where
it's going.
Square Enix is no longer exclusively doing stuff for the Sony company, which is exciting, I think.
I agree.
They're broadening out again. And
yeah.
And the Metal Gear Solid series is still pretty much going to be exclusively on Sony systems. But, I mean, is it going to be worth $600? And there's no set price yet.
Basically,
as of this podcast.
Will you pay $600 to play Final Fantasy and Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah, and from what I've seen of, and I may be ruffling some feathers when I say this, but from what I've seen of Final Fantasy XII, I'm not that excited about the direction that they are moving the Final Fantasy series in, because it really doesn't, Final Fantasy XII at least, doesn't really resemble at all the games that I grew up on, the games that I love. Different combat system, different character focus, different plot focus, totally different battle systems and, persistent world and things like that, which they're trying to hype up as good features. And at least from the demo that I played when I bought Dragon Warrior 8, I was not very enthused because it felt like an MMO, except it's offline. And a lot of people have said that, but if that's the series direction, then Final Fantasy XIII is not exciting me that much, and we'll see what they do with that. But the Metal Gear Solid series I've been a fan of forever. Metal Gear Solid 4 looks unbelievable from what I've seen so far. But are you willing to invest in a 1080 progressive television and a very expensive PS3 just to be able to experience, this new game the way it's meant to be played on the PlayStation 3? That's a lot to shell out for these new games.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't I can't see
and
myself.
$60 a pop for games. Oh, yeah. I understand the production values are higher, but that's also. I mean, it's almost becoming. If you're going to play in the next generation, you're going to have to get a second job in order to afford your gaming now.
I certainly can't afford the PS3, and I don't know even if I could if I'd buy it. I don't think it's worth $600, to be honest. I don't have the equipment to hook it up to take full advantage of its power. And I see the Final Fantasy series coming back towards Nintendo, or even to all three systems.
You're definitely going to get Final Fantasy Chronicles 2 on the Nintendo Wii. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a totally different series, pretty much, but still, I mean, who knows what else.
Yeah, and I think they're going to bring it over to the Nintendo Wii eventually. I see a lot of companies heading towards the Nintendo Wii. It's got such low development costs. I mean, how can you say no to a $2,000 development kit and the other companies are charging $10+?
Yeah. It's definitely easier to develop and a lot cheaper to develop for the Nintendo Wii. So there are some advantages. I mean, again, it's kind of shaping up to be kind of like the same thing with the PSP versus the Wii almost, DS rather, because you've got the really cool technology versus maybe more practical, cheaper, innovative gameplay. You see that kind of same war shaping up in the console war that's brewing.
Absolutely.
And caught in between this is the 360.
Well, I just wanted to say before we move on to the 360, I think that's where Nintendo has the real advantage in this console war. People are saying they may not come out. They may come out in the back of the pack. But I don't know, They're really changing the whole strategy of gaming, of developing these games. They're not playing
by the rules, that's
definitely
for sure.
Not. They're not playing by Sony or Microsoft's rules. They're going in the complete opposite direction, and I love to see that, because I like games that look nice, sure. But I don't want to sacrifice the gameplay for that. And I think a lot of these games that have been coming out for the Xbox and PS2 and will be coming out for 360 and PS3 have been sacrificing development time that could be used for developing the gameplay to develop these high-end graphics. And that's really not the reason that I'm gaming. It's because I want an experience. Yeah. I don't want to look at fancy visuals. If I want that, I'll go watch X-Men 7. I don't really care about that when I'm playing games. I just care about the gameplay.
So there's more to the experience than just the visuals.
And I think Nintendo completely gets that, and that's why they're not shooting for the graphics whore machines that PS3 is and the 360. And they're concentrating completely on the gameplay.
Yes,
and I think that's great.
One of the things that I can remember being big was, for a while, full motion video in games.
PlayStation 1, Resident Evil. That was one of my favorites. They had the best animation in that, Resident Evil 2.
But, ultimately,
your...
Oh, yes. Resident Evil, great series. Resident Evil 4, a great revival of the series. Full motion video is obviously not an interactive experience.
No.
It's just like, you know, TV or a movie, you're watching a sequence, and it might have computer effects added in, but it's still a sequence, and you're just, you know, you're not interacting, you're watching.
Sure.
And games like the Wing Commander series back in the day were popular when they came out because it was an interactive movie, basically, with gameplay added in. That was cool.
It was the new thing, too.
It was the new fad. And that didn't last very long. Pretty soon, people were like, hey, wait a minute, we are gamers. We want to actually interact with our games. So the same thing is kind of happening with processing power. You have these amazing visuals, but how is the gameplay?
Exactly.
Are you just watching, like, for example, in your Final Fantasy game, are you hitting a button and watching an enormous, elaborate summon sequence over and over and over again? And while doing that, you're completely detached from the experience? Or, you know, are you going to rather have something that's maybe a little bit more simple, but you're involved with it constantly?
I know which game you're talking about. You're talking about Final Fantasy VII. one of my favorite RPGs. You get the summon sequence over and over and over. But I gotta say, the video in that game really did help out the story, and it made you connect with those characters. I think there's a place for full motion video. I really do, in games. For instance, Command & Conquer. You cannot have a Command & Conquer game without full motion video. It's not possible. It's not going to be the same.
It has its place, but it doesn't need to be center stage. And that's where
I agree.
That Final Fantasy VII was new and innovative, because we hadn't seen that level of visuals done in a Final Fantasy game up until that point, which I don't have a problem with that. It's more of Final Fantasy VIII when the FMVs, especially during battles and the summon monsters, were something that you couldn't skip over, and you had to watch over and over and over and over again. And they were much, much longer and much, much more elaborate than Final Fantasy VII's.
Well, they had to be. It was the next one in the series.
It was the next one in the series, so you have to outdo yourself.
Naturally.
And they went too far, and I think maybe that's what's happening with visuals, is it's the focus, and it's not just a tool to tell a story or a tool to be able to use to interact with a virtual world, but it's becoming the center stage.
Yeah, I think they need to stop focusing so much on the glitz and the glamour and think about replay value. When you walk into something like Final Fantasy VII or VIII, and you've got to watch these cutscenes every time you play, or for instance, a game where if you die without completing the level, you have to go back and watch a 10-minute cutscene. I cannot stand that. They need to think about replay value. The fancy full motion video and the graphics might be cool for a while, for the first few times you see them, but eventually they're going to get old,
and
it's going to be
horrible.
If the gameplay's
not there, you're not going to stick around for the whole experience. If the gameplay's not there. So in between sort of this technological slash control mechanism war between the far right and the far left, which I'll call, Sony and Nintendo, we have Microsoft, which is kind of like
Sony's little brother.
Kind of right in between them. They're borrowing a lot of each other's strategies, too. They're really the company that doesn't really revolutionize as much as they just kind of take and innovate and use to their own advantage. So the 360 advantages are, we're kind of got the in-between blues, because we're talking about price, we're talking about graphics, and it's kind of right in the middle when it comes to that. It's not very expensive when it comes to comparing with the PlayStation 3, but when it comes to, the Wii is much cheaper. So at the same time, it also has better graphics than the Wii system and high resolution graphics, but not to the extent of the PlayStation 3. Also, it's got the whole Xbox Live experience is something that's pretty
Absolutely.
Addictive right now to a lot of people.
The gamer points. I've got to have the gamer points.
Yes, you have to. And that is a cool idea.
I agree. I love that idea. It's kind of like a global competition or a mini competition among your friends. See who has the most achievements, the most gamer points.
The most achievement points, yeah. And that's a great strategy to keep people playing. Even when you're playing a game that's kind of designed to have an offline experience, you still have the online excitement of competing with people to unlock and do everything you possibly can in the game to advance your ranking in the world stage. That's great.
And I think it's a great marketing strategy, too, because not only are you going to buy the games that you want, but you're also going to buy some of the games you don't want just to get the achievement points, just to beat your friends, just to advance your rank. I think it's a great marketing strategy on their part.
It's a great strategy, and it's a company that's known for great strategies and marketing strategies.
They're not Microsoft for no reason.
What a big surprise. But when it comes to, is this a system that's going to be something that's actually not gimmicky, but is going to be a long-lasting, iconic system with great games on it that you're going to remember, years and years from now? I'm not really sure if it is or not.
I'm...
They have... they really don't have a ton of killer apps.
Don't. And everybody's waiting for Halo 3, and who knows when that's going to be out. But I was not necessarily into Halo 1 or 2. I've played them. I'm a PC gamer for the last 5 or so years. I've been playing Counter-Strike and all the FPS games. And when you switch from the mouse and the keyboard to the controller, you can't do it. It just doesn't feel right. And your reaction times are slower, and everybody praises Halo 1 and Halo, especially Halo 2 and the multiplayer. But I just can't get into it because of the control scheme. Now, give me a mouse and keyboard, and I'm sure that would be a great game for me.
Sure.
But I just cannot get into it with that control scheme.
Same with me. I would much rather have my mouse and my keyboard to control my FPS than I would dual analog sticks.
Yeah, but everyone is waiting for Halo 3. I think that will be a huge seller. I mean, it's got Halo 2 as its predecessor. It's going to be huge.
Halo 2 sold a lot of Xboxes. It's going to be enormous, but I mean...
But will it ultimately be considered as a great game?
Is that going to be a series that's going to last the test of time? Are we going to have Halo 6, 7, 8?
Halo 12.
Halo 12.
Final Fantasy 12.
I'm not so sure.
And when it comes to 360 games being timeless,
are they going to have new series come out on the 360 that will be memorable? Because there are a lot of great games out already. But I don't really know if Dead Rising and games like that... You know, it's more of a Me Too system. Because, I mean, like Saints Row has just come out. That's just like... Grand Theft Auto.
But Dead Rising. Don't put Dead Rising in there. That's such a great B movie.
It's a great, great idea. It's an awesome game. It's awesome to look at. It's fun to play.
It's not a great game of all time.
It's not going to last.
I know that. But it's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a fun, forgettable game.
I know. I'm a huge zombie fan. I love the B movie horror. It's all so great. And then they come out with this game where I just get to chainsaw zombies, run over them in a car.
You can kill them with anything.
Exactly.
Throw TVs at them. You can kill them with, you know, rubber duckies. I mean,
I'm a huge fan of the zombie genre, so I have to object. I object, sir.
Okay, well, is it going to be as popular?
No, it's not going to be a great game.
You didn't even hear me.
It's not going to be as popular as Superman 64.
Oh, well, oh, God.
Okay, maybe that.
Oh, man. Work. It's, of course, not, because that's the worst game ever made.
It's a classic.
It's a classic, terrible game. It won't be as popular as that, but is it as innovative and rememberable and long-lasting as the Resident Evil series is going to be?
No, absolutely
not. I mean, is there going to be...
And I don't even think necessarily there will be a Dead Rising 2.
There probably won't be. I mean, I doubt there will be.
No, I don't see it happening.
So in a lot of ways, I think that Microsoft with the 360 is kind of falling into some of the shortcomings that Sega fell into, at least with their providing. I love the Dreamcast, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big Sega fan, and I love Sega consoles. I miss their presence in the console wars, actually, but with Microsoft, they are creating and getting developers to create for their system, but while they have solid titles in a lot and almost every genre, none of them are the kind that I think will be around and be talked about for, you know, the next generation after this and the generation after that.
I
just don't see that happening. Maybe that can't happen again, because that really... I don't know if gaming has kind of grown beyond the iconic experiences that we'll remember for years and years, I think.
I certainly don't think so. But I also think that you can't really judge these things in the here and now. I think only looking back on them are we going to be able to tell what was classic, what was truly classic, and what was just a good, decent game.
Yeah.
Because...
You'll definitely know.
You'll definitely
still
know
be
within
around.
The next 10 years.
Yeah,
it takes a while for these things to happen.
Yeah, just like the industry itself, the games that are part of it will evolve and they'll grow beyond their disk space.
Not with Blu-ray.
Yes, there is no limit to that.
No limit.
It can store your entire brain.
The disc that keeps on giving.
Blu-ray disc.
Okay, well, I have one other advantage, as I see it, of the 360, and that is the fact that, like we said, it's been out for a year now, a little less than a year. Almost a year.
Almost right at a year.
And for the most part, I think it has all the bugs worked out of it. I mean, we had some problems up front with overheating, things like that, but I think the system has all the bugs worked out. And I also think the developers are learning how to program for this thing. They're learning how to squeeze out more, and not that they necessarily need it at this point, because it still looks so good, but when the PS3 comes out, they're going to have to really showcase something. And I think they're going to be able to do that because they've been out for a year, the developers are learning how to use this hardware, and they'll be able to pull off some pretty incredible things.
Yeah, they'll be able to match the PS3 probably stride for a good year, maybe 2 years, before
I'd
you
imagine
really
so.
See a vergence in the quality. Yeah, I agree, and that's a big thorn in Sony's side, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
that along with the price difference.
If you have the power, but you don't have the developers that can use the power, then you don't have the power.
Yeah, what
you
good
don't, you're not different. You're just a big pile of potential.
You're the same with a bigger price tag. For now. At launch, they're pretty much the same thing, unless you have a 1080p television.
Yeah, and even then, I mean,
you're not going to notice a huge difference.
An enormous difference.
Okay, well, I think we should move on to the Wii then. And okay. I have to say, yes, I might be a little biased here. I am really looking forward to the Wii. It's the first console I've looked forward to in a long time, probably since the Dreamcast. And I really have high hopes for it. Yeah, I have high hopes for it. I think there's some pretty obvious advantages that it has right now. First being price. And everybody, since the announcement, $249.99, everybody is complaining about this price tag. How can you complain about
that.
A $250 price tag? They say, oh, well, Nintendo has always released at $199. And
that's
I say,
not true.
I know.
First of all, that's not true.
I've been reading on the forums. Wasn't the GameCube $219? Is that right? $219.99?
GameCube, I believe, was $250.
No.
Pretty
get
sure.
Out
no,
of
it
here.
Was $199. It was $199.
Yeah,
the 64 was $250 when it came out.
I think you're wrong. But
pretty sure. You have the internet.
If he's wrong, listeners, email us. Let him know.
Yeah. Rip me a new one if
rip
I'm
him
wrong.
A new one.
I'm pretty sure that it debuted at $249.
Rip him a new one, guys.
Rip me a new one.
Anyway, everyone is complaining about this price tag, and I don't see how you can possibly complain. Nintendo all along has been saying we're going to put it under $250. And of course, what does that mean? Anybody who's been around gaming knows under $250 means $249.99.
Under $250.
Exactly. You don't go any lower than that. You've delivered what you promised.
Usually when they say that, they have announced the price point. Because if
exactly.
You have a brain in your head, you know, okay, it's going to be a cent lower than whatever that announcement was.
Exactly.
Usually that's the case.
So I don't know how you can be disappointed. Everybody says Wii isn't really
it
a full...
It didn't surprise me that it's going to be $249. But what did surprise me, what I was hoping for...
I know what you're going to say. The pack-in game?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That totally makes it worth it, too, I think, in my opinion. I mean, I don't want to be too much, you know, licking Nintendo's ass, but...
Ugh, I don't want to do that at all.
You can with the Wii Remote, certain games, I'm sure. That's a gross idea. I'm glad I'm not a developer.
Anyway.
What was I saying? The
I
pack
have no
in.
Idea.
Yes.
The pack-in. Yes, the pack-in.
The pack-in. The Wii Sports pack-in is a great value. I mean, $249, it's the cheapest of the next-gen systems, and I know what many of you are thinking is that, yeah, it's just a GameCube 2, and you're pretty much right.
1.5.
I was very disappointed in the technological specs of the machine. It's roughly twice the power of a GameCube, but it's not HD, it's not high definition. Even though I don't have an HD TV, that bothers me.
Neither do I.
Because I know I'm going to get one, eventually.
In the next 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
HDTV in the next 5 years.
Yes, I will. Yeah, you can can go to Walmart.
I doubt I will. I really doubt it.
Yeah, you don't think you'll have one in the next 5 years?
I don't think I'll have one in the next 5 years.
Why? Because what if...
I haven't upgraded my TV, my existing TV, my 19-inch television, where one of the green tubes is about to blow. I haven't even upgraded that yet in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well...
In 5 more, what am I going to do?
Well, that's you, my friend. I am definitely buying one within the next probably year or 2 years.
Well, I watch most of my stuff on my flat panel computer monitor anyway.
That's high def anyway. That's higher pixel count. Which is why I like gaming.
Lost episodes in high def.
I like gaming on PCs for that reason. They've always been, you know, higher than 640 by 480.
Sure.
But
I haven't played 640 by 480 in a while.
You know, unless you're playing on your console, which I'm sick of doing. I want high def console games, and I'm going to get an HD television, and when I do, I'm sure I will have a Wii as well as eventually all the new systems, and I want HD Wii.
Okay, well, I'll tell you why I'm not disappointed. Because, like I said, the direction that Nintendo is heading is really, really has me excited. I don't think it's necessarily about graphics, like I said. And granted, 1080p would be beautiful looking, but I don't think it's necessarily going to help you when you're playing Mario Galaxy.
Oh,
I don't think it matters.
I think it matters.
Or when you're playing...
I definitely do.
Trauma Center. I don't really care that I can't see this in 1080p as opposed to my 480i.
I know it doesn't necessarily change the gameplay, but... I've always maintained the stance that I want the best of both worlds. And
What if it costs $600?
Well, then it may not be worth getting the best.
Well, there you go.
That's the big argument, isn't it?
It really is, and that's what this whole console war this generation comes down to.
Uh-huh. It comes down to value, technology versus value, innovation. Price, and it's all mixed in. So this is going to be a big serious step in the game industry's evolution.
I think so.
So we're going to see, you know, whoever wins this console war, you know, is probably going to, you know, really have a big impact on the gaming generation to come.
Well, the way I see it is, the only person who could possibly impact the next generation of games. Is Nintendo right now. Because if Sony wins this, if Microsoft wins this war, what's going to happen next generation? The same old, more graphics, more of the same sequels to every game.
I see what you mean.
More EA Sports games. If Nintendo wins this console war, what's going to happen next generation? Sony's going to step up, take their 6 degrees of freedom... and expand on it.
Well, and they're already trying to do that. They already tried to last minute,
exactly.
You know, Me Too copycat of the Wii controller, I think that alone shows how much they respect Nintendo. You know,
sure.
They were the leader for so many years, and the innovator. They brought us the analog stick.
I think, and they saw what the DS did too.
Yes,
I think that's a big part of it. They saw what Nintendo did with the DS. And the interaction there, and the same thing they're bringing to the Wii. And now they're trying to fall in line with that. And I think if Nintendo wins this console war this generation, everyone's going to head that direction.
I don't see that it necessarily requires Nintendo to win, though, because I think what will happen is the innovation will get consumed and assimilated by the bigger companies. For example, if the Nintendo Wii doesn't really sell very well but still has a good fan base and innovates gameplay with the new control style, I envision that even if it goes bankrupt when PlayStation 4 comes out, you're going to have a PlayStation 4 with greater graphics and a similar kind of controller. So you're going to be...
Which we already have on the PS3. It's similar,
it's not as good, but you're going to have something that's probably just as good as what the Wii was, maybe even better. And then you're going to see things kind of maybe stagnate. I look back and as reference, I look the Sega company, the Sega Corporation, innovated games in a lot of ways as well. and they did it in financially devastating ways, but they were very much trying to push the envelope. They were trying to bring CD storage to, you know, the home console with the Sega CD. They were trying to bring 3D graphics first with the 32X. They were trying to innovate by having a little mini game system hook into your controller with the VMU on the Dreamcast. And then you see Nintendo do similar things with the connectivity a strategy with the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, okay.
And the GameCube. And you see that Sega really did innovate in a lot of different ways. It just didn't work, and it wasn't fully conceptualized, and it was the bad timing. And a lot of blunders caused them to crumble and not be able to still compete as far as hardware. And at the same time, those ideas were very good. They were just stolen by all the competitors and used in a more smart, intelligent way. Nintendo's coming out, and they're putting everything on the line with this new control system and this different strategy. And even in 5 years, if they lose this console war and they go bankrupt and destitute, I still think they'll leave their mark on gaming. And that the next console war won't be without a revolution. They'll just consume and, you know, assimilate the people that they beat.
So you think even pre-launch, this is a win for them? This is Nintendo's already won.
Gaming,
as
gamers
far as
have
helping
won.
Gaming,
gamers
yeah.
have won. No company
as far
has
as
won. I think
gaming,
is advancing what gaming can do. Nintendo has already
they've
made
their
contribution.
They've done everything they have to do.
And no matter if we bombs on the day of its release, they've already said, hey, gaming needs to evolve, and, you know, here are some ideas. So someone's going to take the baton, even if they fail, and they're going to continue to try and innovate, regardless of who wins today's war. But
honestly, I don't see them failing this generation.
I have not
I
played
the
Wii yet, though.
I haven't either, but I played the DS, and they're shaping up to be pretty similar, I think.
Yeah, I'm real impressed with the DS, and if the Wii innovates console gaming like the DS does portable gaming, or, you know, even close, I would say that that we've got a winner on our hands, at least maybe not the winner, but it's going to be enough to
certainly
keep
Nintendo won't lose
afloat.
Out on this deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are not losing out on this deal. Like
I don't
they
think
said
so.
they're profitable from day one. There's no way they're losing money on this deal.
I'm with you there. So it's a good, it's a great day for gamers, even if you can't afford all the new systems.
Yeah, you could probably afford the
gaming game. is more exciting now than I think it's been in years.
Yeah, I agree. Ever since Dreamcast. I tout Dreamcast a lot. I'm a big fan of Dreamcast.
I am too. Love Sega, love the Dreamcast. Miss it.
Alright, well, I think we've talked pretty much all about the Wii, except for a pretty big feature, the Virtual Console. What do you think about the Virtual Console?
I think it's ridiculous. And I'm not really...
Ridiculously good?
Ridiculously good? No, unfortunately. And you guys can all, you know, I can...
He's kidding, guys. There's no way he's serious.
No, I... Are you... No...
We really should have talked about this before the show.
Yeah, we should have, shouldn't we?
I
think it's a ridiculously terrible feature.
No, I'm waiting for the punchline. Where is it?
I'm not joking with you, Jim.
Come on, Peter.
No, Jim Jones. This is me being honest with you. The Virtual Console is a gimmicky bad idea. And I'll tell you why.
Yes, tell me why.
All right, because I'm going to have to back this statement up, I see.
This guy's sick.
What this means is you will now be paying
I know where you're going.
To $15 for...
No.
Was it 10? What was the
announcement? 5 to 10. 5 to 10.
Well, 5 for the Nintendo games, 10 for 64 games. And I thought it was 10 for Super Nintendo, 15 for 64.
I thought it was 5 and 5 and 10. 5
regardless,
for super, 5 for regular, 10 for 64.
Okay, well, maybe that's how it is. And we'll have to check that in a minute. But regardless, These are games that you can get, and so many people are doing it. They're getting it for free on their emulators. There's an enormous ROM community, emulator community, and while this is kind of, you know, under the realms of legality in most cases, it's still enormously rampant. And to say that the Virtual Console is just great because it's going to let you play all of these, you know, classic games from these great systems of yesteryear, sure, that's a neat idea, but paying that much money for it and not even being able to play an enormous library, especially from day one, and having to download these games for a fee is nothing that's going to curb the emulator community, and it's not going to discourage people from thinking, hey, you know what, I could play Mario and Zelda on my Wii as well as the new Mario and Zelda on my Wii, but I could also play a perfect version or an even better version on my computer as an emulator.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't see them trying to stop or slow down emulation in any way. Sure, I'm sure they'd like that, but they've been succeeding and doing just fine with emulation on the rise. It's no big deal yet. The reason I do like the Virtual Console is because when you're talking about games like Final Fantasy III, Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo, Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, you're talking about games that now will cost you between $30 and $100 to buy the cartridge. But when you go to the Virtual Console, you're paying $10 tops for these games. And I think that's great if you have... That will give more people access to these games, because a lot of these games don't even have the distribution that they did before. Like, it's hard to find some of these games.
Oh, I know that. Collectors
are... Exactly. Collectors hog them up and just keep them. But it gives people access to games that they wouldn't normally be able to play, which are either too scarce to find or out of their price range. So I think that's a really good benefit of the Virtual Console, even with the emulation around, because you're never going to get perfect emulation of every game. It doesn't really happen.
Well, no, but I mean, when we're talking about some of the older systems, you're getting better in emulation. Like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, there are emulators out there that do better jobs than the original. They smooth out.
But the Wii can do the same thing.
Yeah, but...
And it's going to be under Nintendo supervision, so it'll be even better.
But
there's no way it's going to be worse than an emulator.
Yeah,
that's
but people
for sure.
can also... The people who do emulators will... There are ways to actually get your Super Nintendo controller to work with the emulator, so you can play it on the official controller even. Whereas
sure.
with the Nintendo Virtual Console, you have this classic remote, which is kind of a bastard child of all of these different ideas of controllers, and they're not any play style on that new retro controller that's going to be for the Wii. It doesn't look or feel like anything that the original controllers felt or played like. It's close, but no cigar.
I think it has a basic idea, and I don't think that's really that important. It has an A and a B button.
Would you rather play...
If I'm playing Super Mario Brothers, all I need is an A, a B, and a directional pad.
Well, that's true. Let's look at it this way, though. If you're playing a Nintendo 64 game, would you rather play GoldenEye on the 64 controller or on the new Wii retro controller?
Or would I rather play it on the Wiimote? How about that?
Is that even possible?
I mean, I'm sure it would be. Nintendo would be insane not to put GoldenEye on the Wiimote.
I don't know if they're going to do that or not, though. If they did that...
They have to. If they don't do that, they're stupid. There's no way to play GoldenEye on that classic control. It's not possible. They don't have an analog stick.
They do. The classic control has the analog stick. It's wired. It's not the... There's the nunchuck and the Wii remote, and then the classic controller has two analog sticks on it.
I thought it had just the D-pad.
No, it has dual analog sticks on it.
But it, there's no Z button. That is the thing that made GoldenEye so
fire
great.
Button.
It's like the trigger. I mean, when you were playing, it was like you were actually shooting a gun because the Z button's position. It was great. And that's the way I want to play my GoldenEye. I don't want to play it on this new controller that doesn't have
you
that.
You don't
want to
play it on the Wiimote? I would love to.
If
play
it
GoldenEye
has
on the Wiimote
functionality, that would be interesting, and maybe I would like that better. So I'll give you that, maybe.
Insane not to do that.
If they did that, then hell, maybe it would be better. Maybe even a more fun version of GoldenEye, which would be great. But now that Rare is in the pocket of Microsoft, is there going to be a virtual console version of that game?
That's a good question. What happens with all
the Rare games that were for Nintendo, are they going to be on Virtual Console? Is there going to be some kind of legal red tape to keep GoldenEye and Perfect Dark from your Virtual Console?
It'd be interesting if GoldenEye showed up on the 360. That would be interesting. That'd
be
a complete role reversal there.
They would have to get the 007 license again to even do that, which now EA owns that, and they've been destroying it.
I love EA. Please send us stuff, EA.
Yeah, EA, you're just great.
Send us cash, preferably. No games.
Yeah,
we don't want any
games. Suck.
Hey, come on, man.
Hey, they're cookie cutter games.
Send us
man.
Free stuff, EA. Don't listen to him. I'm editing you out of this.
Yeah, send me cash so
we'll
I can buy
your games.
Your games.
Sure. Just send us cash, EA. We'll buy your games.
I love
promise.
How your games are.
Come on. We'll rag on EA next podcast. Next All podcast, right. Everybody. It's rag on EA day.
Maybe. We'll try
we'll
to
see.
Fit some of that in.
Probably not, but we'll try.
There won't be a second one because EA will have...
Because nobody's listening to this one!
I know.
Come on, guys. Get on the forums. Send us some email. Tell us you hate us.
Tell
us you love
hate
us.
Us.
Tell us you love us. Don't tell us you hate us. Well tell us that too, but...
Tell us whatever you actually feel. How's that?
No. People are going to be sending some weird shit in. I don't want to know how they feel.
I don't want to know what they feel.
Just tell us whether you hate us or love us. How about that?
That works. Tell us that. We'll be sure to share that on another session of Power Play. We will have a segment once we actually get some feedback. We will share any and all mail on this to the extent possible on this
program. Yeah, as much
program.
As we can. Once we
and
start getting 800 messages
we're not going
a day,
to be,
I don't think we'll have time for that.
No, but we will share love and hate and all of the above. We will read.
Mostly the hate. I like to read hate
mostly
mail.
The hate.
Hate mail's fun.
It is.
It's more fun
it.
than the love letters that I get.
Constructive criticism given with the slice of knife in your back.
I got one love letter in high school, 18 hate letters.
Really?
Yeah. Kidding.
I
got
say,
two love letters.
It was all hate letters, wasn't it?
He's a funny guy, folks. Funny guy.
Stop brandishing that soldering gun at me. Alright, well, now I guess we should talk about the next in our line of topics. What are we playing right now, Jim Jones? What are you playing currently?
I bought a DS Lite.
Which
two
color?
2 days before the black one came out. A white, obviously. A couple days before the black and pink came out. What day was that? I don't know. Like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And,
I forget exactly the date.
And I bought two games. The only two that I have at the moment. I should be getting some more this week, but I only have two right now. Which are New Super Mario Brothers and Mario Kart.
Very, very fine choices.
Great
games. I have those games.
But the only complaint I had is I really wish they were a little bit longer because I don't have a whole lot to do aside from this podcast and read hate mail. Keep sending the hate mail, guys. And the games, it took me like 2 days, I think, of pretty steady play to beat Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers, with all three stars, beat every level, got all the
insane.
Coins.
I'm still working on my star coins.
Yeah, it did really take that long. Of course, I did use a guide for probably 10 of the stars.
Oh, well, there you go.
The last 10 I could find. Yeah, it would have taken me a lot longer because some of those are just really difficult.
Yeah, I've so far cleared 4 out of the 8 worlds as far as completing the Star Coins, and I've not used a guide whatsoever. Wow. And it's more rewarding, I think. I hate guides. I don't like using them.
Yeah, I just wanted to beat the whole thing. I'm ridiculous when it comes to this, but I'm considering
ridiculous.
Going through and beating the game with all 3 stars on the other 2 save spots as well.
That's the geekiest thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry. I guess it's my OCD acting up or something, but I've got to see 9 stars when I start there.
That's
my name and all this.
Now that's true completism.
I think so. Thank God they didn't give me more save spots, huh?
That's fucking crazy.
Anyway, but this game is really fun. It's the classic Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers. It's the exact same thing. It has really, really nice sharp graphics.
Yes, they do.
I was thoroughly impressed with it.
It's
3D.
Really pretty, and it's just a side-scrolling layout, but it's got the 3D graphics with the side scroll with the 2D plane.
Yeah, that's definitely the first thing I noticed about the game when I turned it on.
It's a unique.
Is how good it looks.
Yeah, it looks good. Very bold and good colors. Very sharp. Good visuals. It's also got nice control too.
I was going to say it handles very well. The only thing that I really didn't like about it.
Good
aside
as the 2Ds.
From how fast I beat it, was that stinking shell, man. The shell suit. Whatever that is, I cannot control
the
that thing.
And
shell
suit.
I've been told that it gets easier to control as you get better with it. But
it does.
I really have trouble controlling that thing. I end up off a cliff. I end up doing something stupid and dying.
All you have to do is let go of the B button.
Yeah,
and
but
you
I can't
instantly
run.
Stop.
But I can't run. Without turning into the stupid shell
and
bouncing off.
Right.
That's what
that's
I hate. That's
the Achilles
my only
heel of the suit. I don't like that either, but I've learned how to at least control it better. Multiplayer,
I
still
not.
Kick your ass.
But
it really has little to do with my mastery of the shell suit. Just
more
my mastery of platforming
more my
in
sucking
general.
At the game. But yeah, that was really the only complaint I had with it. Other than that, great game. And it's gotten really high ratings on all the sites, of course.
Yeah.
Nintendo pretty much does no wrong with
Mario
games.
I'm looking forward to a new Super Mario Brothers 2.
March the Minis?
No, that's Mario vs.
Donkey Kong
2.
Yeah.
Yep. That I have not
played
yet. Do
they have Super Mario...
That's out already.
2 in the works? New Super Mario Brothers 2 in the works?
No, it's not been announced, but I'm just going out on a limb here and assuming that they will. Because, I mean, it's been one of their most successful games. The Mario fan in me has faith that they'll do another one.
Sequel
in
the Mario series? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Unheard of.
No
Monstrous.
Way. Yes. What I would rather see in it is, I know this is what you're playing, but I love Mario, so I'm going to talk about it. I love to see in a sequel a flying suit again. This new Super Mario Brothers, it felt just like the first one in a lot of ways, and that's what they were basing on. That's a great formula, but
Super Mario 3.
Ever since Mario 3, I've been able to have a flying Mario in my Mario games. I've been able to have...
I want a raccoon suit, damn it.
Bring the raccoon suit back.
Yeah, forget the turtle shell suit.
Forget
this. I don't
this.
Want that.
We don't want that.
I
again.
Want the raccoon tail.
Or, better yet, what was the name of the suit?
The hamburger suit?
No, the one that was... there's the cape. Our producer was talking about the cape. That was great in all the different
cape,
ways you could fly with that.
Super
but
Mario World?
No, I'm talking about the suit in Mario 3 that was
the
like...
frog suit.
No, the one where you could fly.
So many
but
suits.
But there was a lot of suits. There was the boots and suits and all kinds of things. Hammer Brothers suit. I mean the
one where you didn't have to run to fly.
You still had to run. No, you're talking about the Power Wing, and that's not what I'm talking about either.
How many suits were in this game? Come
Mario
on.
Mario 3 had the most suits. I loved the game because of that.
I liked the frog suit. That was my favorite.
Whatever it was called, Tanuki or something. We should look this up online.
Yeah,
I can't believe I don't remember it.
but you could turn into a stone statue.
Ah, that's right.
It was the coolest thing ever. There hasn't been any feature in a Mario game since that has so enthralled me as being able to turn Mario into a stone-looking Egyptian-style statue and be invulnerable, as well as fly. The suit could fly, too. You could fly with it just like the raccoon, but it enveloped his all but Mario's face.
Wikipedia, the all-knowing presence of Wikipedia is Tanuki suit.
The Tanuki suit. I was close.
Allows Mario to fly, just like Raccoon Mario. Mario can also become a statue of Jizo while in this form.
Jizo?
Jizo.
Is the name of that?
Jizo is the name of the statue.
Wow, I'm not going to touch that.
Oh, I forgot about the boot! The Goomba shoe.
Yes, you forgot that?
Memories. Rendering him temporarily invincible by pressing down and B. Suit is based on the Japanese Tanuki. Statue Mario can be activated in mid-air and thus stomp many enemies that cannot normally be defeated, such as lava lotuses and thwomps.
I didn't know that or either remember that.
Statue Mario can also defeat enemies that take multiple hits, such as Koopas, in one stomp. Yeah. Need like 100
people. Very similar to the others.
I mean, there's a lot of power ups from this. The P-Wing, that's what I was thinking of.
The P-Wing, yeah. That you could just pop on and fly through entire stages.
Yeah.
Good way to cheat your way through the hard ones.
And if I love to do one thing, it's cheat.
But I would love to see a new DS Mario, a new Super Mario Brothers.
We just got like four Super Mario Brothers games. Four Mario games for the DS, man.
What do you,
we got
what
new
for?
Super Mario Brothers, we got Mario Kart, we got Hoops, we've got Donkey Kong versus Mario.
There's a big difference in Mario-themed games
and actual
Mario games.
Yeah.
They're all good, but I'm more of the actual Mario game fan than the offshoots. I want the Mario platformers, and I want them in mass, and I want them now.
You sound like you're 12 years old over there.
Takes me back. I feel like I'm 12 when I play Mario again. I've been playing Mario since I was half that age.
Alright, well, I think we all agree that we'd like to see more Mario games. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Mario.
There are people who hate Mario.
No, get out of here. If you hate Mario, write us and tell us. Tell us why, too. Don't just tell us I hate Mario. Tell me why you hate Mario.
Yeah, exactly.
And not because he's ugly, even though he's one of our top seven.
Well, not
ugly's
top
not a reason
seven.
Not to play the game.
I agree with Wario, but not with Mario.
No, Mario's pretty hideous, too.
No,
but yeah, write in and tell us why you hate Mario, if you hate Mario. And, yeah, we will check it out. Read it on the air, possibly.
So is that all you're playing, Jim?
No, I am also playing the only other DS game that I bought, which is Mario Kart DS.
How you liking that?
I love this game. This game has the classic feel of Mario 64. Mario Kart 64, rather.
Right.
But it also has beautiful new graphics. I love these graphics. And it has
fully
new courses.
Fully 3D carts.
Yeah, fully 3D everything,
3D
right?
carts, finally. I mean, it's...
Well, we've had 64.
Had 3D. 64 did not have 3D carts. It had sprites.
Oh, Jesus.
The carts were sprites. Yes. Send him hate mail because he didn't know that.
This is all getting edited out.
Yeah, well...
No, it's not.
We'll see about that.
This is all live, folks. We don't edit anything on this show.
This is completely live. You just
stream
downloaded
stream of
it.
Consciousness.
It's completely live. You can fast forward, rewind. It's all live. It's,
yeah. Call in. Call us right now.
Call in right
888-555-1212. Just give us a call.
Did you just make that up? I mean, no, that's the number.
That's our number.
I know. Yeah. I know that.
What?
They should call
you
it right
now. You
gotta
get with the program, man.
I didn't know.
Okay, well, give us a call. Tell us how much you hate us.
Give us a call. I'm going to say that Mario Kart DS is the best Mario Kart ever.
I agree. I really do agree. And I'm a huge fan of Mario Kart 64.
And
I love that game.
I don't know of any other game that has ever in my life made me go out in the middle of the night, down the street to my local IHOP, my international house of pancakes in my town, just for the Wi-Fi service so I can sit in their parking lot and play with people in Japan.
I have to say that that's probably because this is the first system that you could do that on.
Probably
not because it's the first game that you wanted to do that with.
Well, you're probably right there.
But I completely agree.
But I've always wanted to play Mario Kart online. And
sure.
I think everybody has.
Now we can. And we can play the best version of it online. Like you were saying earlier, this is probably the best version of the game. I would have to agree.
Great controls, great new power-ups.
And add to that the online play and
wireless,
you have a heck of a package.
Wireless local play and Wi-Fi play.
And being new to the whole DS thing, I have to say that is... The wireless is one of the best features on any handheld I've ever seen. I love the wireless play.
Built-in wireless is great.
It's great. No wires, nothing to encumber me when I'm playing these games. I just fire up my DS, so does my buddy, even if he doesn't have the same game I have.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
There are a lot of exceptions. There's not a standard with that.
I know that. And that, it really bugs me when people get pissed off because a game doesn't have that. People, this is not normal for these games to have this. This is not the standard. Don't be expecting every single game to have that.
Well, this is the first portable system, that and the PSP,
that has the wireless
that
game.
Has online ability.
Yeah.
No other. You've been able to link portables before, and there was even wireless packs you could get with the GBA there at the end, and sure, you've been able to link up with your buddies in a room with your Game Boy and other systems for a long while, but you've never been able to go wirelessly online before in a portable gaming system.
Sure, but you've been paying basically the same amount for these games for how long now? I mean, years and years and years. Do you automatically expect that you're going to get better features for the same price?
No, you don't.
You shouldn't expect these things. I think that is a bonus, really. The fact that you get to play the game and you can play it multiplayer online and you can play it wirelessly with someone who does have the cart, I think playing it with someone who doesn't have the cart is just a huge bonus that we should be grateful that we get, not that we should expect in every game.
Yeah, a lot of these features are newer features, and I think that with certain... After a certain period of time passes, after you've done a thing and you've set a standard, that people do start to expect it. It becomes a standard after a while.
But I think we're way too early.
It's an innovation when it first comes out and a revolution when it first happens. But after it happens and it comes out that way, suddenly everybody expects that's now the standard, because you have to keep improving, obviously. So people think that is now the standard, and I'm along those lines. I'm a greedy bastard. I want the best, you know.
I think it's premature, though. I think the DS has only been out for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
I think it's premature to expect these features in every single game we get on the DS.
Well, I mean, look how long Mario Kart's been out, though. It's been out for a long time. But I'm talking about the DS version.
Ah, okay.
And it's had all these great features, you know, from early on. And now we're getting the new lineup of DS games like Mario Hoops, and it doesn't have these features? But that seems like a step backwards to me. I mean, if you've set a standard and you've come out with this great, perfect version of Mario Kart with the online features and the, you know, downloadable content and everything like this, and then you come out with your new Mario Sports title and it doesn't have these features, I have to ask, what the hell is going on?
Okay.
You know, Nintendo, why? You know, even if other developers are making these games, if you're starting to introduce new features and make that standard in some of your products, you should see your other developers follow suit.
If I recall, didn't Square Enix make this game? Make Mario Hoops?
Mario Hoops they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think we can hold them to the same standard that we're holding Nintendo to, really. I mean,
well,
yeah.
I certainly do. I mean, they're...
Oh, I wouldn't. Mario Kart's a first-party game. The features that they developed are theirs, pretty much. I wouldn't.
Well, Nintendo has had longer to develop for the DS.
And they know their hardware inside and out. I mean, they built it. It's going to be much easier for them to develop these things than for some third-party company to do it.
Well, they need to start making their developers as skilled with their new technologies if they want a strong, well-rounded system.
Well, I say give it another year, and I think this will probably be pretty close to a standard.
Yeah,
I think most games that come out will have that.
I'm being patient. I'm waiting.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit too early, though, to be complaining that we don't have these things when we have such great games. Not having that doesn't detract from the game, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it does, but a little bit more than you, but we can agree to disagree on this, I guess.
All right. So what are you playing, Peter Street?
Well, currently I'm playing World of Warcraft.
Ooh, hiss.
Oh, what are you talking
it
about?
It sucked up too much of my life, man.
Sucked up too much of it. You don't know what that means.
You're right. I haven't been playing as long as you have.
You wake up and you're... realize that you fell asleep at your computer and your one-year-old is in a shitty diaper that he's been in for the last 12 hours, then you know it sucked your life away.
At least you're not in a diaper. That's all I gotta say.
I'll be playing it when I'm in a diaper, probably, but World of Warcraft, and I'm exaggerating. I only got a lot of mail about me being a neglectful parent. No, you can be a responsible parent and still play World of Warcraft.
Impossible.
No, you can't.
I know.
It's just like moderation. I mean, I have been...
Just like you can be a responsible parent and do heroin.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Just as long as you do heroin in moderation. No. World of Warcraft. Yes. I've been playing it again. I've had many months of hiatus, but recently I've started to get enthused about World of Warcraft again, and I have started to play on my level 60 paladin again. And basically what has motivated me to do this, not only have I not played in months, but I have been very excited about the Burning Crusade and all of the information I keep seeing about it, flying mounts and the Outland, and
suckered you in with the expansion.
Hooked you again. They've got me on their hooks again, yes. So I'm kind of trying to finish getting my epic sets and, trick out my paladin so I can be ready to explore the Outlands and shoot for level 70 and just kind of get reacquainted with my guild again so I can be involved when it comes time to raid these new instances. So I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft, preparing for the Burning Crusade. Also, currently, I have just started to play Okami for PlayStation 2.
Looks very cool, I have to say.
Yeah, unique, definitely. And I like the artistic style, the manga feel, and very, very interesting so far. A very long game, as I understand it. 30-plus hours, and I have just begun to scratch the surface on that just a few hours in. So I'm really enjoying that game, and I'm enjoying getting reacquainted with the former addiction that is becoming my new addiction again, and that is World of Warcraft, and an effort to prepare my character for the Burning Crusade. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay, well, I think that about covers what we've been playing. Next week, actually, we'll probably have a bigger what we've been playing section because I'm getting several more DS games in the mail, and I will most definitely be playing them.
Or at least next cast.
Next podcast, sorry. All right, so let's go ahead and move into what I think is our final segment here called What Would You Rather Do?
Yes.
And I think this is going to be pretty interesting. This week we have What Would You Rather Do? Play 100 hours of Superman 64 or Peter Street?
I would rather play 100 hours of World of Warcraft again.
No. You can't let yourself off the hook that easily. You have to ask me what would I rather do? Play 100 hours of Superman 64, or...
There's really not much I wouldn't rather do? And if I'm going to ask you this question, then I would guess I would have to say, would you rather play 100 hours of Superman 64 or play 100 hours of...
I'll take it. Oh, I want to hear the option first. What?
Okay. Probably wise.
I don't know.
I was going to say 100 hours of Prison Tycoon for the PC.
Prison Tycoon.
Prison Tycoon.
Is that a real game?
It is a real game.
Oh,
it's,
my
unbelievably,
God.
It's a real game. You can become the tycoon of a prison.
This is a plea to the publishers of the Tycoon games. No more. No more.
Yes.
Zoo
it's
Tycoon.
Gone too far.
Prison Tycoon.
Mm-hmm. Railroad
Tycoon.
How can
tycoon. You possibly be a tycoon of
Mafia
prisons?
Mafia Tycoon. I'm not sure. I've not played.
Aren't
this
they
game,
all state
but
run?
I never want to really.
State and federal run. I don't think you can be a tycoon of prisons.
I think you're the you are actually the law in the prison. You're not a prisoner.
Then how are you a? No, I know. How can you be a tycoon of a prison?
It's retarded.
I don't believe you. For one, I don't believe you in this game.
All right,
show
here
me.
We go. I'm going to
gonna have to
for
show
it.
Me. While you're doing that, I will.
Would you rather?
I would rather play. I don't care. I haven't even heard of this game, but I'd rather play the Prison Tycoon because I've played Superman 64. At least I'd be getting something new and potentially much better than Superman 64. I don't think it could be much worse, and I
here
see
is
the
game
tycoon.
Only for $9.99 now. Wow, that's dropped in price.
Here,
let me read this synopsis of the game. From chaos comes order. Private prisons have become the new growth industry. You will construct and run an efficient rehabilitation facility with nothing but money on your mind.
Why didn't they call this Sim Prison?
There's no escaping under your watchful eye as you oversee every detail of prison life.
Oh my God.
Manage prisoner sentences from time off for good behavior to rehabilitation training. Hire and control your prison staff. Set up and run prison industries. Influence prisoner morale by creating inmate activities, breaking up fights, and handling gang problems. Establish your facility's reputation as the ultimate correctional institution. Crime doesn't pay, but justice does. Prison Tycoon. Rated teen for violence.
We're sending this tape to EA, see if Peter Street can get an audition for the announcer.
I should. I really sold this game I'm never going to play, didn't I?
You sold it. I'm ready to play it. Over Superman 64.
You know, I probably would, too.
Yeah. Okay. Too. Well, then I'm going to pose the question to you, sir. Would you rather play 64 hours, or play 100 hours of Superman 64, or spend 100 hours testing the limits of human flexibility?
Excuse me?
You'll be the guinea pig.
What are you...
Testing the limits of human flexibility in some sort of machine.
Exactly, how dangerous is this going to be?
You're testing the limits, buddy.
I'm testing the limits.
You are testing the limits of human flexibility.
How painful and dangerous is this?
Imagine how painful it is for you to bend over and touch your toes. That's not the limit. I assure you that.
Basically, would I rather be stretched out like in medieval times?
Exactly.
Or play 100 hours of Superman 64?
Would you rather
Superman
end up
64?
On the rack for 100 hours or Superman 64? It's what I'm getting at.
100 hours on the rack or 100 hours... playing Superman 64.
Yeah.
Damn, that's hard. That's a tough one, really. Because having played Superman 64, knowing that the experience is much more akin to having needles shoved into your very sensitive organs.
And you've never been on the rack. You don't know how it is.
I've not tried it. It might be, you know...
more pleasant.
I go to chiropractors a lot, and it may be similar.
Possibly.
I'm sure I could probably use a rack.
We'll find you a cushioned rack.
It's got a cushion on it?
It has a cushion.
If it has a cushion, I'm going to have to say 100 hours on the rack, as long as it's not going to kill me, because Superman 64 would probably kill me.
There you have it. 100 hours of Prison Tycoon and 100 hours on the rack.
Are better than 100 hours with Superman 64.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Jim, I think that...
Peter?
Pretty much brings us to the end of our inaugural grand beginning episode of Power Play.
I think so. But before we go, I have a couple things we need to discuss with the listeners. First off, we want to tell everyone to send us their love or hate mail at powerplay@geeksongames.com.
And as well, we would like to hear from you on our forums, which can be found at geeksongames.com. Feel free to discuss the topics mentioned and your views on them, and how much you hate and disagree with that, or how much you find that my opinions are always superior to Jim's.
Or you can shoot yourself in the face.
You could do that too.
Yeah.
But why deny the truth? Just post on our forums, geeksongames.com. And we'll be coming back to you...
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Sorry, guys, this is not a weekly podcast. We do not have that kind of time.
No, we are working men. But come back and see us in a couple weeks, and we'll have some fresh content.
We'll have some goodies. And until then, see you later.
Goodbye. Thank you.